Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Okay, you ready?
Oh yeah, Ramesh.
You want to do any more of that?
How does that make you feel? Because you sort of quivered a bit when I did that.
I don't know, it's a difficult one because... It is you, and I'm not a homosexual, but it does sound very close to a noise that would appeal to me, sort of the way you're doing it.
Oh yeah, rubbish.
You should have that as your. I might have that as a text thing when you text me.
When I text you,
yeah. Because no, it'd be weird if you had it as your text ringtone.
Does your phone make any noises?
No. I mean. Stealth, man, stealth.
When you're sitting on a train and somebody's phone actually starts ringing,
yeah,
I just immediately think, what's going on in your life, man? That you need to announce. It feels like you're showing off.
An Apple Watch is such a godsend for that, you know. It really is.
I had an Apple Watch and I had to get rid of it because like you know when you see emails on it.
Yeah.
So I would see an email, it would come up. And I just look at it and I think I'll deal with that later. And then when I go to like an actual plate, on my laptop, whatever, I've read it. I just never look at it again. So I was just like not responding to shitloads of emails.
You can turn the alerts off on your emails on the watch. I just find it good for fitness.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you can turn the emails off so they don't ping up. I found it so good for fitness.
Well, what does it do for fitness? I'm still reeling from the fact that just a simple switch could have meant that I kept my iPhone. What the fuck's it called? iWatch. Yeah.
Yeah, you can just go through all the options. I don't have that many things that ping up. I'll have texts that ping up because I can get straight back to someone on a text. Yeah. I don't have emails that come up.
Sure.
Don't have WhatsApps. But I have, the fitness thing is the apps. So you can see how far you walk, what calories you're burning.
Yeah.
And at the moment where I'm in this healthy kick, it's a good vibe.
Does it affect your actual behaviour? What I mean by that is when you look and you go, I haven't walked enough steps, you then go for a walk.
Yeah, I do, yeah. So, no, I always try and hit 10,000 steps a day at the moment.
Okay, got you.
So, at the moment, yeah, I can just go. And if the phone's not accurate because you haven't got the phone with you the whole time. Well, you do because you're always on your phone, but sometimes
wow. Oh, hello there. You've caught the wolf and the owl in the middle of one of our textbook chats. Welcome to the Wolf and Owl podcast, guys.
Yeah, welcome.
I think we need to open,
a very sincere apology, actually.
Yeah. We need to apologize because last week Well, you know why we're apologising. Last week, there were no episodes. Now, what I would say is, I posted on the Wolf and Owl Instagram. Are you annotating this meeting? What are you doing?
No, I'm writing minutes. I was just turning off because I'll get that annoying twing when my fucking emails go. I've turned it off my laptop, but I've turned it off on my watch. Which is the Apple conundrum that we all live in. I think we should do an apology each. You do yours and I'll do mine.
Okay. I would like to apologise because one of the things that I said to Tom when we started this podcast is half the battle is making sure that you deliver the podcast when you're supposed to deliver it, because a podcast becomes part of people's routines. They're relying on it at a certain day of the week. And we said at the bare minimum, even if the quality dips, which it has done, let's be absolutely honest, it's been a real roller coaster in terms of the actual content. But even if that happens, we have to stick hard and fast to the rule that we put out an episode every week. And I just want to apologise to you, the listeners, and also to the Wolf for letting the side down. Now, what I would say to you is unforeseen circumstances. It was outside of our control. But the Wolf would have been able to record. It is the Owl that sort of let the side down.
And I'd just like to apologise. There is no one. There is only a two.
Okay. So it's a weird thing to say, bearing in mind that this podcast sort of pits us against each other almost every single episode. But
there were some people saying, oh, maybe the Wolf should have done one with the Shrew, which I'm a little bit, I find bad that Lisa's known as the Shrew within the...
Can I just jump in here? Because just with regards to that Shrew thing, it turns out I thought that was funnier than Lisa does. So one of the first things she said to me was, what made you pick the Shrew? Why did the Shrew?
I agree with Lisa.
Of course you do. Of course you do. You don't need to say that out loud. I know that you'll agree with Lisa on pretty much everything. She said to me, first of all, what made you
say... Can I just say what I'd have called Lisa, by the way? I'd have called her the Swan.
Would you?
Yeah.
Because of that time she broke my arm.
She's just elegant and sort of should be protected against
fuck
all costs.
Fuck off. So anyway, look, first of all, she was a bit annoyed that was the first word that popped into my head, even in a joke. Not really annoyed, sort of comically annoyed.
Yeah.
The fact that almost all of our emails that we're getting in now are addressed to the Wolf, Owl and the Shrew probably hasn't helped my case. And then some of them are sort of treating Lisa like a shrew butler, where they go, even if you don't read this email out, could you make sure this message gets passed on to them?
Calling a shrew in the emails. Oh, bless. Mate, we need to change that up. So from now, should we say the
Not
swan?
Not swan, though. I think swan's a bit... I think swan's a bit much. I think, like, cat.
Cat? Well, cat's my actual missus's name, so it's a bit confusing.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I can't imagine... I'm not actually suggesting that I call her that sort of around the house, Tom. It's just in the context of the podcast.
What about...
If you and I were out for dinner together, I would still continue to call her Lisa. I think we'd be all right in that.
What other sweet animals are there? Nice animals that we like?
Otter?
Otter's arguably worse than a shrew.
Ocelot? Puma?
The falcon?
The falcon?
Yeah.
The Wolf, the Owl, and the Falcon.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, fine. So let's see what she says.
Any correspondence on emails should be to the Wolf, the Owl, and the Falcon. Anyone who's emailing into the Shrew, your emails will be deleted. And we'll put it to... What?
No, they won't be deleted.
We need to make a president. Right, that's your apology,
what,
Dan?
Hold on. Before we carry on, what are we calling Cat?
Cat can just be Cat. She can just, yeah. She loves
She's
Cat.
Cat.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the Wolf, Owl, Falcon and the Cat. Yeah. That's what this unit is.
This is what this merry foursome is. Right, okay.
Okay, go on.
So is that your apology, Dan?
Yeah, I thought it was quite a nice apology.
I thought it was
You've sort of responded to it like I've taken a shit on a dining table.
No, I'm going to do mine. You've done yours. It's quite cool.
Okay, go on. Right. Yeah, yeah.
James Torrance, if you can you put on the theme tune from Raging Bull? So just put that on a bed under this, what I'm about to say. My sweet dear listeners, this comes from the bottom of both of our hearts. You are the most important people to us, and that we have let you down this week breaks my heart, and it also breaks the Owl's heart. We will endeavour to never do this again. You are the globe in which we tread upon. You are the honey within our hives. That's the Wolf saying, We're both sorry.
Really nice. Yeah. Really, really nice. You're the globes in which we tread upon.
Yeah. I think that's a nice sentiment, right?
Yeah.
I think good. With that, good, if like you it. Know the song I mean, and James Torrance, just get in touch if you don't know which one, because I'll ping it over to you, bro.
Are we nice. Keeping all of this admin bit in the edit, or are we taking it out?
No, I like when the admin stuff's in. Also, James Torrance is a very important part. I've actually missed his correspondence this week. I wish I'd, you know.
Yeah.
How are you, by the way?
You don't normally contact him unless he needs something, do you?
I haven't needed anything this week.
No. That's why he hasn't heard from you. I've continued to email him, but that's just because I sort of consider him a colleague as well as a friend. But whereas you just consider him, I guess, by the way, you just ordered him to lay the track. Like, I guess you consider him some sort of audio butler.
Right, listen.
Or something.
You, number one, you seem obsessed with butlers this week.
Oh, yeah, that's true, isn't it? I don't know.
Why should you bench it? Oh, okay. Just quickly, James Torrance, if you want. Yo, James, this is a wharf. I treasure you. You're an incredible human being. And when we can, I want to take you out for the biggest and loveliest lunch you've ever had in your life. And the drinks, they'll be flowing on me.
Mm. Just to take the gloss off that a little bit, he also offers that to every single person who emails into the podcast. So, anyway, listen, I'm going to tell you this now, Tom.
Yo.
It's a fucking delight to see you, my brother. Oh, this has been, doing this podcast, it's been lovely just to know that I've got a guaranteed hour of face-to-face time with my guy. Same. So it's been a bit.
I've missed you. I've missed the turbulent rock and roll, the washing machine. Rhythm of our relationship, you know, and just seeing you sort of languidly sat back, cheeky, and sort of like, you know, in your Arsenal, whatever that fifth kit that they've got this year. By the way, I've got to just quickly shout out something that, like, Arsenal, but mate, your kits and all of your like Arsenal wear this year is so drippy, it's so nice. But West Ham is literally stuck in a fucking turbulent fucking, we're like the 90s still, we're not even retro 90s, by the way, shit 90s. There's nothing nice. I'm looking at that top just thinking, man, what is the point of supporting a club that only
To be fair, though, this isn't a kit. This is like a... They got Pharrell... Adidas got Pharrell Williams to reimagine some of their kits. Cool. So this is like his take on a bruised banana kit. But what I would say is
Just break down what you've just said, right? Pharrell Williams has just done this bruised banana kit, right? That's the shit you're getting as an Arsenal fan. That's what you're getting. We got a centenary kit, which was just black. It was just like...
Okay, well, tell me this. What would you like? Really cool kits or be in the running for Champions League? What would you prefer?
If I'm honest with you, I'd sooner just be mid-table so I don't get my heart broken when we don't qualify for the Champions League, but I look good.
I mean, that's one of the most ridiculous things you've ever said.
Mate, first you know of the all, other
how,
thing, by the way?
How often are you wearing football kits, just out of interest? I'm wearing it because I wear this around the house. I wouldn't go out. I don't think I'd go out.
I've seen you on interviews and stuff where you've got like one of their cool training, like their zip-up tops or something on. I swear I have.
Right.
Which look quite cool.
It's so difficult to know what you're doing sometimes.
No, I'm not doing anything, but I have
Because even when you're at your nicest and your smiliest and your little rosy cheeks are at full pop, I know that you're fucking...
No, I'll be honest. I've seen you lurking about in like Arsenal wear at times, and it looks quite cool. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I've got one West Ham jumper, which is just about passable. I just think that, look, you know, West Ham fans are some of the coolest fans in the league. They need to fucking up the ante. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that they should do a collab with Stone
Island.
There's
too many. Yeah, that would be perfect for West Ham's image. That would. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right. That's exactly what they need as a brand. A fucking Stone Island collaboration. Just in case anyone was in any doubts about the firms operating, we're fucking properly, officially linked up with Stone Island now.
Wait, let me just say, by the way, I have to apologise for the squeakiness of my chair. This has been sitting on my desk for like 2 weeks now, and I've just done nothing about it.
It's a can of WD-40, guys, for people listening to the podcast.
How's your fitness? How's your fitness drive going?
Okay. Well, there's a couple of things that I'm struggling with. What I've been doing is I've been trying to get. Obviously, I've been away, and so I wasn't able to do it then. But since I've come back, the things I've been doing is I've been trying to make sure I do some sort of exercise for at least half an hour, ideally an hour every day, right? So whether that be Peloton or like kettlebells or whatever, right? And I've also started using MyFitnessPal, you know, the app to sort of log what I'm eating and stuff and try and keep on top of my calories. Now, the two big issues that I'm facing are my tits. No, the two big issues that I'm facing are, one, I'm just so greedy. I'm so incredibly greedy. And we've had a lot of emails in about what people described as sort of porn levels of fantasizing about takeaways that we did on the last episode. So I'm greedy. I haven't really got good willpower. The other thing I've noticed about myself, and I don't think you do have this problem. Well, at least you don't give the impression of having this problem. My tolerance for exercise-based kind of pain and punishment is so low. Like my brain tells me to give up so early on.
That actually shocked me about you, because I thought you'd have more, knowing that what we do for a living, you have to go through so much fucking beatdowns and pain and absolute anguish to get where you've got. It surprises me that you give it, because we've talked quite a lot about, you know, I suppose what people would call body dysmorphia, like how much we hate our bodies, right? Yeah. It shocks me that I don't think you have a problem. I think you're making excuses. Because I've seen you, like, Peloton's fucking hard, man. Peloton's proper grueling. And, like, I think Jay or someone said you were smashing it at one point. So it's just a thing, isn't it?
I've just started doing it. We'll see what happens. But, like, for example, we did a thing years ago. You know, I did this show in America, and Lisa was in the show, right? Almost against her will. She was absolutely fucking furious about it. But one of the things that we had to do was we went and got a Navy SEAL workout on the beach, on Venice Beach, right? And Lisa, I don't know if Catherine's like this. She's a fucking machine. Yeah. We are made of very different stuff, Lisa and I, right? So one of the things they were getting us to do, they're getting us to do mad shit. Like, have you seen this thing where you deep breathe, like you really deep breathe for a while and you oxygenate your blood?
Yeah.
And then you just hold your breath. And you can hold your breath for fucking ages, right? So we did this, right? Before we did it, so this is apparently, like, if you oxygenate your blood, your desire to breathe, like, really quickly is just mental. It's not physical. So they're trying to do this to show us how you can sort of get more control over your body. Do you know what I mean? To overcome your brain sort of telling you to pull out, right? So we both oxygenate. We tried to hold our breath. I couldn't hold my breath as long as Lisa, right? So I can't remember. It was like a minute or something like that. And then I tapped. Lisa's a bit longer. After we did this oxygenating in our blood, I was able to hold my breath for about 3 minutes.
What?
Like, mate, it's mad. Lisa, this is how hardcore she was. They had to tell her to start breathing again.
Wow.
Because she just fucking hardcored it out, right? And then we started doing these workouts. They were getting us to run with like a tie around us, run down to the beach with a kettlebell, completely cover it in sand, run down, wash it off, like all of this mad shit. And I could see the Navy SEALs, the way they were talking to Lisa and I was different, because they saw Lisa as somebody who was actually, do you know what I mean? She was made of stern stuff, whereas they couldn't even, mate, the best word to describe it is they were disgusted with me. And I'm not talking about my physique. I was at my biggest then. I'm talking about just my attitude, the whole way I was carrying myself. They were appalled that somebody like me, they even had to look at me. It was so humiliating.
Yeah, but there's a thing where I try really hard at stuff and then I fail. So it's almost like what they were disgusted with you, but I have a very different look from people like that, which is pity, which is like, this guy is very willing to do things, but he hasn't got the metal to follow it through.
But I think that's more admirable.
It's more admirable, I'd much rather people went, oh, you're disgusting, you can't even be bothered to try, than went, oh, well done, mate. You know, this isn't for everyone. There's two very different things going on there.
Yeah. That happens a lot to me on League of Their Own things. You know, like when we're doing VTs and stuff, you'll often see, like, I win a challenge because I've managed to actually put an effort in despite my obvious shortcomings. Do you know what I mean? Well, you know, obviously, on paper, Freddie and Jamie absolutely trounced him. But in terms of overcoming his sort of physical setbacks and the fact that he is a fucking gelatinous slug, we're actually going to give the win to Ramesh. That happens a lot.
But these things, right, that happen, you have to fight against all the time. Like, you know, mate, if I'm honest with you, I've come back this last couple of weeks since we talked about it, doing off and on circuits. I had my vaccine this week, so I didn't go to work in the gym. I was so fucking
Which one did
kid.
You have? Which one did you have?
When I went in, right, this is how the woman described it. She was, let me just shout out. I thought the whole thing was amazingly organized. It was incredible. Mm. Yeah, shout out to everyone. But the woman was so happy and joyous, which I would think is amazing because she's obviously happy with what she's doing. But she went, oh, we've got the Dolly Parton special today. So it's a Moderna one that Dolly Parton's painted in.
And I was okay.
And that threw me into a spin, right? Because if of all of the fucking vaccines out there, right, if I was going to a music concert and someone went, oh, fucking, you know, AstraZeneca or whatever it's called, or fucking Pfizer are playing, but if Dolly Parton was playing, that'd be great. What Dolly Parton, I'm not sure how much Dolly Parton knows about fucking vaccines or medicine.
I'm happy to get something that's been endorsed by Dolly Parton if it's a fringed denim jacket.
So I had the vaccine, and then everyone told me to chill out and take the rest of the day off, but I had to go into London for a couple of meetings. So I went in and I straight away started feeling ill. I was like, just not ill, just tired and a bit run down, which by all accounts is what happens if it's working better. That's what they tell you on the Moderna leaflet. And then I was just out of the game for like 2 or 3 days, right? You know, just, you know, I was fatigued anyway and run down. But all I could think of when this was happening is just Dolly Parton sitting in a little lab somewhere going, I think this is just the way that we're going to beat coronavirus. Just with test tubes.
I think we're going to defeat it today. I really do.
Willie Nelson just smoking a spliff in the background. You know it, Dolly. I feel like this is going well, Willie.
Well, you know, I'm in the lab working 9 to 5. Yeah, okay. You do that joke every day, Dolly.
I did a really pathetic, you know, talking about jokes. So I played golf yesterday.
You've been playing golf every day, haven't you?
I'm playing quite a lot of golf. I'm quite enjoying the vibe of golf. Yeah.
The old Insta stories, hashtag golf life.
Yes. Mate, just fucking building the brand, boy.
So I
stumbled upon a thing where one of the guys went, how are you playing? I said, I'm playing like Eric Malcolm. I'm hitting all of the right shots, just not in the right order. And this guy pissed his pants. He thought it was very funny. Right. Mm. And I then caught myself doing that. I talked to about 20 people like across the course.
You did
that
the
day,
same joke.
And they were like, how are you playing? And I went, yeah, playing a bit like Eric Malcolm. Even started doing the glasses. Pulling the glasses. A little bit like Eric Malcolm, hitting all the right shots, just not in the right order. And then I felt disgusted with myself. I felt like...
Why?
And then I even did an Instagram video saying that.
Why do you feel disgusted?
You just the same joke last... over and over
you
and
just
over
described
again.
You just described my last tour, bro.
That's the closest I've ever come to doing a tour. Yesterday.
Yeah. That's Tom's doing all 18 holes over the course of an afternoon. Go see him.
Oh, mate, he's up there every day. I mean, jokes are limited. He's got his Eric Morecambe bit and a bit about standing. What? How many balls did he hit? I was still on a rake and hit 2. But actually, you go for the jokes, but you stay to watch him play golf because that is, frankly, hilarious.
How's your fitness journey been going then? So you were knackered off the vaccine.
Yeah. I've sort of got back to it this last couple of days with Stan.
But you've been hitting it hard because, like, you train with Stan, right?
Yeah.
And he pushes you... Like to the max, right?
Oh, Stan,
I to the, why did I say to the max?
Yeah, I mean, that was very...
What a fucking
that was very,
dick.
Yeah.
So sorry.
When you said that, you did sound like someone who you used to be like chubby at school, but now you're in like a really ripped condition. You sounded like when you were saying that, you were slurping a can of Monster Energy.
Oh, I'm so fucking gutted.
That is...
Every now and again, something happens, isn't it? And you just
I think that
that's going to stay with me today.
Yeah, but I think that's sometimes the actual human that you are. Like, that is in you.
What, coming out?
Yeah. Right. Like, that's ingrained in you. Like, people, you know, those sort of, I'm going to smash it to the max and all that. Because, you know what? I always think, like, with you, that I could imagine that's what, when you worked at Sunglass Hut and you had, like, aspirations of working at Soul Trader, like, everything was to the max and, like, living on the edge.
That's a slight problem I've got with working out, to be honest with you, is to the max. You know, like every workout has got to be your arsehole gets turned inside out, or if you don't cough up blood, you haven't worked hard enough or whatever. You know, that feels like a
relatively...
By the way,
I know what you're doing, by the way.
What?
You feel so pathetic about saying to the max. You're now trying to come up with better, cooler ways of saying it. Like your arsehole being turned inside out, right? And like throwing up and all this shit. But you know deep down inside that your go-to was, I pushed it to the max.
Now, let me explain something to you. We've received a number of emails over the past few months of us doing this podcast about how good this podcast has been for like people's mental health and stuff like that. And, you know, don't allow things to get to you. Now, what I've done there is I've tried to move on from something I feel a bit sad about. And what you've done, like a fucking sort of nightmare demon.
Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Is you know, like my, you've basically become my inner voice going, don't try and move away from to the mat. That was your go-to phrase. That's the one, that's your favourite. And now you're trying to say cooler things to put it behind you, but you can't put it behind you. That's the kind of thing that you say, Ramesh. What the fuck is up with you?
You know what, though? I will seriously... I will give £500 to charity if you call your next tour, Ramesh Ranganathan, to the max. That would be...
God. 500. If you give a grand to charity, you're willing to give a grand to charity, I'll call my next tour, Ramesh Ranganathan, to the max.
Mate, I'll do that then. So will that be 2023? I reckon I'll have a grand on the hip then.
Yeah, it's fucking 2 minutes for you on set of King Gary, isn't it?
I fucking wish.
Grand in the hip pocket.
So look, with Stan, let me just... say what Stan, by the way, is the best personal trainer I've ever had by a long, long way. Because
how many have you had?
I've had about 12.
Okay, there you go. That's a qualified.
I've been around a bit when it comes to personal trainers, but Stan's very much my life partner when it comes to personal training.
Personal training,
because you know what Stan is if he makes everything fun, he has a laugh with staff. You have a real good conversation. So actually, when you're, as you say, pushing it to the max. You're like,
oh, here we go. What? He's not finished.
No, I'm just saying because that's it. No, but that's the like parallels we're working, in that. And look, by the way, I don't hate push it to the max. You know what I mean? I just wouldn't say it much. So, okay, when Stan's extending your limits, this is something else that I can imagine you'd say. when Stan's enhancing your boundaries, right?
Yeah. When Stan's absolutely pushing the envelope to the next letterbox.
This is the worst one, actually, that people say. Beasted, bro. So beasted.
Beasted. Just fuck off.
But Stan just makes it very fun, but he can be ice cold at times. When he thinks you've got more in you, he'll make you search your soul to get that out, which I think you need. I think it's like today, I know I've done, shout out Locksmith, for his weighted vest.
You got the you talked about it. So what do you do with this lock? Shout out to Locksmith. Yeah. What do you do? So how does his weighted vest? I said weighted vest.
But you know what? It's like,
how does this Tom, tell me this weighted vest. What is the deal with it?
So the weighted vests are amazing. Genuinely, so Locksmith does a range of weighted vests. Mm. You go for a walk in them. It will literally enhance the walk, so you'll be dropping more and more weight. So when you do your daily walk with Lisa and the kids or whatever you do, when you do your walks, or you and Lisa go for a romantic walk, put this on, you'll feel it, man.
Do you feel a difference?
Yeah. Mate, last time, that's where I dropped the most weight was like doing that every morning. Getting up, espresso, bang, mm-hmm. little espresso. So you get the old nothing to eat, get out, fasted, do that, then probably a workout, and then I'd have breakfast.
So you feel like you're making progress there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting it. Look, mate, I still look like, you know, but also we, the mirror that you see, like that we have behind me there, right? That mirror is like one of those mirrors at the fair. So you sort of always look like more dumpy than you actually are. So we have mirrors in the bathroom where I go, oh, look, I look fucking really good. Or I look in the, you know, at night when you're looking in the window, I go, oh, I actually feel like I'm actually sort of like doing, shifting a bit of fucking weight here. And I can look in that thing and I'm like, oh, mate, this is absolutely soul destroying.
I saw a thing once. I think my son and I, like Theo and I, went through a phase of watching the American version of Dragon's Den, which is called Shark Tank.
Yeah.
We watched that for a while, right? And one of the inventions that somebody, or one of the things that somebody was trying to get funding for, was a mirror that's the opposite of what you're talking about. It makes you look slimmer, right? So she goes, you know, it's a mirror that makes you feel really good about yourself before you leave the house. I could not understand the fucking logic of that invention at all. Because you and I both know the number of times where you stood in front of a mirror when you're about to go out for an evening, right? And you think, okay, I look okay. Not good. Neither of us have ever thought we look good. You just sort of think you look passable. And then you head out. And then at the end of the evening, you're shown a series of photos where the penny drops as to what you actually looked like on your night out. What I wouldn't want is a fucking mirror that makes the disparity between what's in my head and the reality even fucking bigger, right? That is the last thing you need.
You know, honestly, the worst thing of it, this is what I hate, right, is when you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, but you'll look front on, right, and go, oh, yeah, yeah, I look cool. And then you go out and you'll be walking down the street and you'll sort of look into a shop window and you'll see this fucking belly. And you're like, that's the killer. Just look the side view.
Yeah. I just said, you know, you were saying last time about on King Gary, where you got the photos. I literally just had the fucking same experience, bro, where they were taking photos on this shoot and then they posted the photos up to the WhatsApp group. And I don't think there is a single photo where I don't look like a fucking troll. Like, literally, just even my posture from the side is absolutely disgusting. I hate the way do you know the other thing? I've been reading about how you're not supposed to talk about yourself like this and how you're not supposed to view yourself like this. I cannot help it. I look like, I hate the way I stand. I hate the way my fucking hands, because sometimes I've got my hand on my hip. I hate the way my fucking legs. Yeah. I hate the way my legs go. I hate the angle of my neck coming off the top of my body. Just everything about it is fucking awful. I came home and I was just angry with Lisa for not having left me.
You know the lowest point of my week this week, right?
God.
So I'm doing this new show with Jamie and Harry Redknapp, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is not a plug thing, all right?
No. But so we haven't got changing rooms where we got. They basically got us an apartment that we share, the three of us. So shoot days, we share an apartment. So we're all basically all getting ready together, right, the three of us. And look, in your head, you go, whatever Jamie wears, Jamie's going to look fucking dapper. Jamie turned up to the shoot looking like a hoodie and a pair of shorts and looked better than I ever have in my life.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of waiting around because there's only two bedrooms, so fucking dickhead here fucking obviously has to wait for those two to get ready, the Redknapps to get ready.
Yeah, sure.
Because everyone knows their place in this shoot. Anyway, Jamie comes out and he's got his velvet jacket on, T-shirt, jeans, effortlessly cool. Looks a don, right? Looks great. Everyone's like, oh, Jamie, you look really, really good, right? The kicker of all kickers was when Harry, who's 75, came out and I looked Harry up and down and thought, you look so fucking stylish. He's head to toe in fucking lovely clothes. Everything fitted really well. And everyone's like, oh my God, Harry, like that. And I came out and I wore a black jumper because I was so fucking worried about the fact I'd look like a fucking potato sat next to the two of them. And I came out and literally it was none of that. There was just like, sort of one guy just raised his eyes and smiled like in a sympathetic way, like I'd fucking shat myself at school. It was just like, honestly. And then I just looked at Harry and thought, you are more stylish. Like, when I'm 75, I know I'm going to be walking around with trousers that don't fit and a fucking shirt that someone's given me. It's like fucking, honestly, that was soul destroying.
Yeah, it's, I mean, look, let's be honest, getting dressed in the same room or the same building as Jamie Redknapp is never going to be great for the self-esteem. No. Let's be, it's never good. when you sort of think you with a shirt on and no trousers on, which I would argue is sort of the most humiliating of states of dress to find yourself in, Jamie would still look better than in that
yeah.
than I would in the suit I wore on my wedding day. So,
and you know, he's so sweet about it. He's so lovely.
I know.
He said to me,
yeah,
he's like, no,
yeah, you can be, Tom, you can be sweet about it when you're on that side of it. Of course he's fucking sweet about it. I don't feel bad about the fact that I look like a fucking Greek god stood next to you. Yeah, of course he feels great. I fucking would as well. If I look like fucking hot buttered toast in whatever a fucking outfit I put on.
Rather than a fucking donut. That might have been trodden on. You know what me and you look like? You know, like,
yeah,
when you go to services and they've got a Dunkin' Donuts cabinet and there's just two fucking yeah. shitty old donuts left. That's us.
Just talking to each other.
Like one kid walking past just going, I really want that donut. I really fancy a donut. And then the mum would look at it and go, you don't want those donuts. Yeah. We'll stop. We'll go 30 miles out of our way to another Krispy Kreme.
Listen, we may be struggling here for things to eat, to feed you with, but we are never going to fall that low as to have one of those hideous donuts. Just imagine what that would say about yourself if you sullied yourself with one of those donuts. Lisa, come on, let's go.
Lisa. Oh, precious.
Right, should we do some emails?
Let's do it, boy. Let's do it.
All right, first of all, what I need to say to you is you have made a lot of people quite angry. I'm just going to say that.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you what it is that's made people angry. It's your absolute clusterfuck of a water polo experiment. Ugh. That has wound quite a lot of people up.
Really?
Because, yeah. What's wound people up is the disparity between what you said you were going to do and what you actually did. Now, what you said you were going to do, just to recap, is that you were going to do an undercover operation. You were going to wear your phone.
Just quick, I'm not a professional undercoverer.
Well, so. I never said you were, but I would say that even if you're not a professional undercoverer, you still know not to say to the person, "Right, I'm recording you now." You know, I don't think you need a qualification to know that sort of undermines the undercover nature of it, right? So you said you were going to do this undercover. So first thing you do is you go, Jamie, right, Jamie, okay, right, we're recording now, aren't we? So I've not prepped you for this, have I? And then our conversation in the podcast was, what if I said I was going to go water, you'd know what I was talking about.
Right.
And what you actually asked Jamie was, Jamie, if I told you I was going to go into the water, what activity would you think I'd be doing?
Yeah.
And he said swimming. And then you claim that, and you aggressively claim that as a victory. That's what's wound people up.
Right.
Now, you said that you got overexcited. Is that what you're sticking with now, that you got overexcited?
Yes, I was like, at the time, look, fucking tensions were high. Yeah. I was wearing a wire. I fucking, like, got all fucking, you know, excited about the whole thing because
listen, let me tell you something. There's no point wearing a wire if you're going to announce to the person. I don't know why you're still wearing a wire. Why are you wearing a wire if you're telling them you're recording?
Well, I just had a mic, you know, because I had my mic, so I was hot mic'd.
Right, okay.
So I was excited about it. That's the thing.
Yeah, okay.
And then obviously, then the first thing, because I was so excited, I told him I was hot mic'd. So right. Obviously things sort of, there. I knew that things were snowballing out of my control.
Right, sure.
I sort of just thought, and also, you know what Jamie's like. You've only got Jamie's attention for a matter of like seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You got to keep. It's like Jamie's attention is like a lit match. You've got to sort of do whatever you're going to do with it in the short time that you've got.
So I was like quick and to the quip, and I was like, right, okay.
Twice you've said to the quip. Who's told you about to the quip?
I heard it mentioned the other day, and I quite liked it.
In what context did you hear to the quip mentioned?
I can't remember. I was earwigging a conversation.
Okay, what was the conversation?
I just remember, well, I don't remember the ins and outs of it, but someone said, look, I'm cutting to the quip.
A couple of things. Yeah. First of all, they didn't say cut to the quip. They said cut to the quick.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
And secondly,
have we been here before with this?
I don't know. But what I would say is that the two occasions that you've used cut to the quip in this conversation have been incorrect.
Right, okay.
So what I would do is just sort of... Maybe was this at the Redknapp show that you heard this conversation?
No.
Okay, it's somewhere else. I would go and maybe there's a garden centre. Well, I'd maybe head back to the garden centre, maybe wear a wire or something, try and do a little bit more research.
Look, I wanted to try and get back, you know, because I sort of always thought, number one, it was probably sort of more within your realms to wear a wire than me. Do you know what I mean? In a way.
Why?
Well, I just figure if the two of us were in the mafia, you'd probably be the more likely one to fucking flip. You know what I mean? Like,
I wondered how you're going to turn it into an insult, but I actually sort of admire it.
I have no doubt that you could wear a wire very well.
Yeah, I could.
You would be insane at wearing a wire. I felt guilty straight away. So I think
you weren't doing anything horrible. And also, Jamie listens to The Wolf and Owl.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah. Oh, no, I know that. It's just it felt against...
So you're not doing anything underhand.
That, as a made man, it felt against all of my ethos.
Oh, here we go.
Right? What I'm saying to you is, like any other situation, I want another run at this. So well, I'll try and do it with someone else just to see if we can get it working, like Harry or something.
Well, actually, a few people have done it.
Really? Okay. Oh, wow, this is interesting.
So a few people have done it.
Yeah.
We had, I think, maybe 3 or 4 emails from people that tried it themselves, and not one of them got the correct interpretation of what they were doing, what they were saying.
Wow.
So
it might have been the way they said it, though.
What do you mean?
Well, they might not.
You say to me, okay, let's hear you say, I'm going to go water in a way that definitely means that the other person knows that you're going to be playing water polo.
Oh, mate. No, it's not water polo, it's swimming.
What? Yes, it was swimming. Yeah. No, was it?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't for water polo, it was for swimming.
Yeah, okay. Go on.
So I would say the best way of doing it is like, you know, walk up, you've got a towel over your shoulder and go, oh, I'm going water.
Okay, and have you also got goggles on and flippers? I mean, how much more fucking visual clues do you want to give them?
Okay, even without that, if you're just standing, you've only got a pair of shorts on, you're like, I'm going water.
Tom, obviously if you're wearing the thing.
Okay.
If I was going horse riding, if I turned up wearing jodhpurs, a fucking helmet, and had a riding crop, I don't even have to say what I'm doing. Right. I'm off now. Are you going horse riding? Yeah. How did you know?
Okay. What are
even
you saying
if I
to me?
Said I'm going water, they go, are you going horse riding, right? Go, yeah.
Yeah, but what you're saying to me is basically I've got to be in an environment, say, look, if I go to the calf, right, outdoors, I've got a tracksuit on and I go, I'm going water.
Yeah.
Then we're in the parallels. Because at the moment
you don't have to be in a calf. What I'm saying is,
But I could be sort of anywhere.
You could be anywhere except for next to a swimming pool with fucking trunks on. All right?
Okay. Right, I'm on it.
Okay. Right, time for some emails. Now, we are back to the Falcon has been doing some of her very best email selection.
Wow. Falcon.
So this is from, she hasn't said whether it's needs to be anonymous or not, but okay. Dear Rom, Tom and the Boss Lady, after spending my life crippled with anxiety and depression with pretty low standards and even lower self-esteem, caused in part by a variety of toxic and abusive men, I've now been single for 2 years, found myself, and I'm a happy, confident, independent, fucking fabulous woman. But these raised standards mean I'm finding it difficult finding myself a bloke. While I'm perfectly happy single, having someone to warm my cold feet on, get the snacks from the kitchen, put the bins out would be nice. I've only recently discovered the Wolf and Owl podcast and have finally caught up after keeping my fingers crossed. Another thing I wanted to ask you wasn't already asked. I'm not being a kiss ass when I say that you two combined is my ideal man. Tall, fucking hilarious, bearded, sarcastic, intelligent, show tunes in the kitchen singing, interesting, hot, and genuinely nice. I loved you both before, but since listening to you and how you care about each other and your families, well, it warms me cockles. So, my question is, the Falcon really has picked an emu here where we get fucking bigged up to them.
I was about to say
to the max again.
Mate, you need
you've put it in me now. Oh, that's what she said. Now that's becoming a thing, I'm going to say it again. If I say it again during this podcast, I'm just going to click stop. It's over.
No. I think what we should do is accrue dead arms.
Okay.
At the moment, you've got 3 dead arms coming to you.
Okay.
And they're proper dead arms, mate, by the way.
Yeah. And we'll do a dead arm for you every time you use a word incorrectly in context.
That's not fair.
What do you mean?
Well, it's like a disability for me, but for you, it's like, sometimes having a ponderous, like...
How about this? Every time you disguise a fucking horrible insult as a compliment, you get a dead arm. Okay,
again,
how about that?
We won't have much of a podcast if we haven't got... You're literally taking the two things that make me. All you've got to give up is a lame saying that you've got a t-shirt of.
All right, well, let's figure out something. I can't think of it now. My question is, got any single mates? And if not, how do I find a genuine bloke? Things have changed a hell of a lot since I was last properly single, and online dating is a soul-crushing nightmare. I've loads planned this year with amazing friends, and I'm semi-confident that when the time is right, it'll happen. But just in case, any ideas? Failing any dating help, just a shout-out from you guys would make my year. Love you guys. Claire. What do you think, Tom?
So, number one, Claire, shout-out to your sister. You're a legend of a person. And I admire the fact that you've... by all accounts, and from what you're saying, you've built this confidence and this, you know, through sort of sounds like some quite turbulent times. So what I'd say to you, Claire, is number one, this is you're not talking about online dating, just online dating. You're trying to online dating during a pandemic, which is pretty difficult. I would say I've got quite a few sort of like mates of mine and my wife's who are like women who've been through pretty much exactly what you're going through now. And I know this is a sort of weird thing, but I think the person is out there. Do you know what I think? One of the main things is, and just sort of thinking of one of our friends in particular, she went out and she was sort of doing more, and it's hard now because obviously the pandemic, but she was doing more hobbies and she was being more active and doing stuff, which on one side, you're doing stuff for yourself, which is good, and you're learning new skills and you're getting out and you're doing things. But on the other side of things, you're able to meet people. And actually, because I think, you know, when we talk about the worst things that sort of, like social media and online dating. I think, you know, I'm not a hater of online dating, but I do think it's sort of made people a little bit lazy and a little bit overly, fussy is the word, but I think people are so quick to write someone off. And if I look now at sort of like, Jesus Christ, me and my wife, if my wife had written me off that quickly, you know, but we had an amazing relationship at the start where we spent a lot of time together. We got to know each other and we did things together. So that sort of increases that bond. I think, now, the amount of times I speak to friends of mine, male and female, and they're like, oh, I went for a date. I knew straight away I didn't like this person. So I just didn't put any effort in. Because what you've got is an overbearing, like almost a well of people that you're constantly looking on your phone and going, oh, there's so many people here that I can go out with. But you don't really ever give anyone a chance, I think, to get to know them properly. And I think, and what you said about both me and Ramesh is very, very kind. And I think you probably agree to say that neither of us had, like, I think when I look at my wife, that probably wouldn't agree with a lot of the stuff you said because, we're human beings are complex. And I think when you sort of get to, you know, the nub of them, you can, I think that's when a relationship, and that's when, you know, I'm only the way I am, I think, because of my wife and the way that, you know, I have a great relationship with her and it's made me more confident. Yeah, it's just finding, I guess, those people that you can, but find them in the real world somehow. And that is difficult, like I say, the pandemic and people's obsession with social, like dating online. But I think the future of dating for me, anyway, is meeting people in the real life and matching.
Tom, it's sort of I was almost thrown by your sort of finish there, but actually, that is some of the most insightful advice I've ever heard you give. Can I just congratulate you on that?
Well, do you know what? I owe Claire that because Claire is one of my favourite people who's ever written into this show. No, she is. I just straight away felt this.
She's one of your favourite people that's ever written into this show.
Yeah. And, I've been watching, by the way, a lot of Catfish and these sort of shows. And people like Claire, who are amazing human beings, who put themselves out there and have a confidence, it really annoys me. And it's a gripe I have when people treat them bad. So, yo, Claire, you got a wolf now in your corner, yo.
Well, you've definitely got a wolf in your corner. Claire, in all seriousness, Tom's advice was brilliant, actually. I do think, and this might be naive, because I haven't been... I haven't been on the market for 12 years now. But what I would say is I genuinely believe that you're most sort of likely to fall into a relationship when you're not looking for one. And I think, you know, you're more likely to be yourself. You're more likely to show the sort of qualities that a potential partner would appreciate in you when you're not looking, basically. And you know, most of the people that I know who are in relationships, they're either not looking or they were sort of thinking about giving up on looking, you know. Or I just think when you're sort of making everything you do about finding somebody, I think it can be a very frustrating experience. And I think that actually just doing things because you enjoy doing them. And Tom's right, you know, getting out and getting involved in hobbies and doing bits and pieces, those sort of things will come. I do genuinely believe that. And I actually also agree with Tom's. I do think it's an excellent observation that Tom's made about people not giving enough of a chance, you know, because you do think there's this infinite pool of people that you can just go to. I sometimes wonder if Lisa and I hadn't worked together, what the chances were of her and I ending up together, because I would say they were zero. Because I think if I met Lisa at a bar, she wouldn't even let me buy her a drink. I genuinely believe that. So like, I think, look, live your life. It's amazing that you've been able to find yourself and you sort of feel happy within yourself. Live your life. And I genuinely believe that those things will come. I do believe that. So good luck.
Claire, what we're kind of saying is just do you.
And, you know, just live your life to the max, you know? Okay.
I was nodding along there just because I thought it was sounding, and then I just clocked what you actually said.
Okay, next email.
I like the way that I've got do you and you've got live life to the max.
No, I haven't got live life to the max, okay? I haven't got live life to the max.
Do you live life to the max?
This is from Josh Richardson.
Yo, Josh.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
I'm just trying to get a new energy.
I've really missed you.
I've missed you, my buddy.
Hi, Tom and Rom. Love the pod massively. My question is, what do you guys find is a staple for your full English? I'd say bacon, eggs and sausages are the essentials and everything else can be replaced by something else or isn't necessarily essential. My housemate will happily argue that hash browns are the most essential in the full English. Would love to know where you guys stand. Of course, Rom, your opinion slightly alters due to veganism. Cheers, guys. Stay sweet. Josh. Okay, now Tom is much more qualified to answer this question than I am. So, Tom, can you tell me what you're thinking about a full English, please, bro?
What staple? What are the three staples of it?
He said, what is a staple? Like, what constitutes a full English?
I think a full English has to be a full gut smasher, mate. I'm saying that now. I'm saying it.
What are the items?
Mate, sausage. Yeah. I would say sausage. I'd say, actually, you know what? I'd go for the flat sausage all day long.
What?
I love a flat sausage.
I did not expect that from you, mate.
I love a flat sausage.
You're going flat sausage?
Flat sausage all day long.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, that's American, isn't it? Flat sausage.
Yeah, Scottish. The Scottish do it as well.
Okay.
I would say, yeah, bacon. But bacon's a real... this is a massive revelation, and I'm sure this will cause ruptures throughout the country. I'm really going off bacon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't have it at all. I've not had bacon for about 3 months. I've just sort of...
Why?
Just because it's so fucking unhealthy. And also, right. I'm greedy.
But it tastes incredible. Right?
It tastes amazing. So if I have, if I buy a pack of six bacon, right?
Yeah.
My wife will maybe have one bit. If she's like vegetarian, she likes the smell of it, so she might have a piece. I'll have the other five bits.
Okay. Can I just stop you there? She's not vegetarian.
Well, she's not vegetarian. She's not as like fucking stringent as you.
I mean, you couldn't. It's not stringent to be a vegetarian that doesn't eat meat. I think it was like 3 seconds between you saying she's a vegetarian and then she might have a piece of bacon.
she's not like a sort of massive servant to the whole cause, but she doesn't like a lot of meat.
Okay, fine. So this is bacon... me not having a go at Kat, by the way. I love Kat, you know that.
I know.
He's one of my favourite people in the whole world.
Right, so bacon is off now for me, but I will go sausage, double sausage patties, black pudding, two, maybe three fried eggs, duck eggs. Shout out David.
Yeah, you love a duck egg.
Baked beans are a must for me, an actual must.
Yeah.
And also, this is another thing. I put up a picture of a roast dinner, something. I put up pictures of every kind of meal, a big old fry at once. And I got a lot of hassle about not having the beans in a pot on their own. I think beans need to be drizzled. I think that juice needs to be on everything.
They need to contaminate everything. They need to be all over.
Bean juice has to just smother everything, right?
Yeah, agree.
Probably a couple of bits of fried toast or just normal toast. But the big one for me, and this is the thing I adore on a fry up. If I'm ever at your house and you're cooking a fry up for me, I want you to do this. I want you to put bubble on that plate.
You want me to put what on that plate?
Bubble.
Bubble?
Bubble.
Bubble?
Yeah.
What do you mean bubble?
Bubble and squeak. Bubble.
Bubble and squeak? You want bubble and squeak as part of your fucking full English?
Yeah, all day long.
When you come to my house. Go fuck yourself.
I'm just saying. You text me the other day.
Yeah, it's like the fucking most high-end fucking item in terms of effort.
No. Also, for a vegetarian, I'll be absolutely disgusted if I come to your house and there's not bubble and squeak on there.
You'd be disgusted.
No, I'd turn around to Lisa and say, can I have a word, please, Lisa? Look, Romesh is all shouting his mouth off about being a vegetarian. Both me and Catherine were sort of thinking there'd be bubble and squeak on this. On the fry up.
You ain't getting, if you come to my house, you ain't getting bubble and squeak on your fucking fry up.
I'll bring my own and you can just fry it up.
Oh my God. You would as well, wouldn't you? Yeah. Turn up with a little fucking Tupperware box.
Mate, don't you love bubble and squeak?
If I had can I ask you a question? Because I'm thinking about doing this genuinely, which sort of goes against my thing about trying to lose weight or not thinking about food too much. Have I talked to you about this before, about having a key ring full of hot sauce? Oh, hold on, let me just get... Now, she's not going to be happy about this, but Lisa has just walked into the room.
Yeah.
Lisa, now we were going to wait to get your verification. Now, Tom, she can't hear you at the moment, right? Okay. Just so you know, because I've got headphones on. What do you think, Tom, can you just tell us, you weren't happy, were you, about the shrew?
No.
No. So...
Just say what I've said, please.
So Tom said... He thought it was really out of order that I called you a shrew. And if he was choosing an animal for you, he would have chosen a swan. Now, I think...
that's better.
Oh, fucking... All right, just fucking get over yourself a little bit. I thought that was a bit excessive. So we've gone with the falcon, okay? What do you think of that? Okay, she's deeply unhappy about that.
I think the swan, she seems happy about the swan.
What's wrong with the falcon? Manly,
huh? You think the falcon's manly?
Yeah, I think swan is graceful.
Really. Fucking hell.
Exactly what I said.
She's actually insisting on the swan.
Yeah, but that she should.
Insisting, but...
Okay, fine. You're the swan.
She's the highest end bit of this show, and she should be rewarded as such.
What about gazelle or something?
Yeah, gazelle's all right.
I think
Tom's
swan.
Not happy with that.
Graceful,
all right, swan.
Elegant.
You're the swan.
Knowing. Caring.
Maybe I'll come up with my own one and tell you.
Okay, have a think about your own one and then come back to me, all right?
The swan.
I can't. The fucking arrogance on this fucking woman to accept the swan as a potential animal. Jesus.
The thing about our names is they're so bang on, aren't they?
Are they? Because I don't think wolf is bang on.
Really?
Yeah.
I think wolf. Yeah, I know we've had.
How is wolf bang on for you?
Wolf, because wolves are fucking just, you know, they got their pride, man.
You're doing a lot of. Can I tell you so? Wolves haven't got a pride, okay? You're thinking of lions. What the other thing I'll say is every time you think you're being cool or sort of edgy, you keep putting both hands up.
Look at
like,
my
what are you
eyes.
Doing?
No, it's just that's my cool little look. Yeah, what's going on? Yeah.
Okay, fine. Well, look, I'll tell you what my... What are we talking about? Full English, right?
Yeah,
so
full
my,
English.
This is my full English. Now, bearing in mind that all of the... Just assume that I'm selecting vegan items. But I would go sausage...
Vegan
right.
sausage, shout out some of the best sausages I've ever had.
Yeah. Sausage. Now, vegan bacon isn't very good, but I think bacon's a staple. Although, I told you I found this, this isn't bacon, which is very good. Yep. So sausage, bacon, obviously no eggs for me, baked beans, hash browns, maybe a little bit of fried toast. And you know what I love?
Yeah.
Mushroom. I like a little, what's that hand for?
No, I think mushrooms are nice. I'm just thinking it's crying out for bubble.
Well, let me tell you something. When you come to my house, which we were arranged, and we're going to do a podcast from the...
Yeah.
I believe we're planning on doing a podcast from the soiree.
Yeah.
Just after we've thrown all the car keys in the bowl. I imagine it's going to be a hot night of sex for me with Tom and Catherine and Lisa. You're not. You're gonna have to prepare yourself for some mushrooms at breakfast. Right?
I don't mind mushrooms, but I'm just saying that you, as a vegan, I think you're just killing yourself not having bubble in the mix.
All right, fine,
guys. Maybe send pictures of your favourite bit of bubble that you've ever made.
Please do not send pictures in, because it's utterly pointless for a podcast. Okay, next up. Hi, Wolf, and I love the pod and all your previous work. I wondered if I could get your opinion on a particularly awakened exchange I had. I assume that's awkward. I had with a delivery driver from one of my local curry houses I had at the weekend. After a full day playing golf, fucking hell, is this from you? After a full day of playing golf and then the added treat of being able to enjoy a few pints after, the obvious choice was to finish the day with a well-earned curry. While waiting for the order to arrive, I set myself up on the sofa, wrapped in a duvet, watching the football. Fucking hell.
Literally, my life. This is what I do.
Slightly half cut, wearing a pair of tracksuit bottoms and topless. This absolutely is here. I live on my own, so I do like to kick back and relax when I'm at home. Also, to add some context, the front door to my flat opens into the living room and the door does not immediately lock itself when it's closed. 30 minutes after ordering through Just Eat, I heard my front door opening behind me. A little bewildered, I look back to see the delivery driver, face mask on, staring back at me, holding my order. As I'm slightly intoxicated at this point, I just give him the old-fashioned, all right, mate, without realising what had just occurred. He then, presuming he'd overstepped some social boundaries and seen him in a half-naked state, decided to then close the door. However, he still had my order in his hand, waiting for me to then reopen the door as if nothing had happened. I then get up, stick a T-shirt on, walk over to reopen the door. This apparently took far too long for the driver. He then proceeds to open my front door again. He puts the order at my feet and leaves pretty sharpish. I'm not one for complaining, especially online, but I do feel like I should have said something to the driver or the restaurant. I do think it's a genuine mistake. I'd hate for the guy to get in trouble. I own a couple of shops and understand people do make silly mistakes all the time, myself included. Told my mates, obviously found the whole thing hilarious, sending me various jokes about him catching me in the act. However, there's a general agreement. They thought the whole thing was a bit weird and I should complain. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Thanks for all the great content, Alex. What do you think?
Hey, Alex. How you doing, man? That is literally my Saturdays. That's what I do. Hit some golf balls, have a couple of cold ones and chow down a curry, bro. Listen, this is a complex problem because the driver, I don't think, is actually too much at fault. He's probably gone to knock at the door. The door's opened. He thinks he's been enticed in, maybe. He's entered the room thinking that maybe, you know, you couldn't open the door yourself, or that's why you've left it open. He's seen, you know, you there topless. And there's an awkwardness, a wave of awkwardness that has awashed both of you. So he has then backed out. I think he knew he was a little bit guilty, and I think he felt quite awkward. I think they're some of the most incredible human beings that I've ever met.
Oh, fucking hell.
I think that they are the bolster that sometimes holds this country together, especially through turbulent times. But
in your mind's eye, what does a bolster look like, just out of interest?
You know, one of those things that you put, like the bolster that sort of like sits there on the earth's crust and just holds the earth together.
What?
Yeah.
A bolster that sits on the earth's crust?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Like, it's like the spongy bit, so we don't all, like, hurt our feet.
The spongy bit?
Yeah.
What spongy bit?
We don't know it's there, but fucking, if we were without it, we'd be lost. And that's what delivery drivers are.
No. What is bolster?
Bolster is like, so when you're laying a patio, you'll stick down some bolster. Yeah. You know that?
You'll stick down some bolster?
Bolster, yeah.
Bolster?
Mate, you've made me Google this myself.
I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, bolster chisel.
A bolster chisel? I've got bolster, a long, thick pillow that is placed under other pillows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that's exactly the kind of thing.
Exactly. You said it sits under the fucking earth's crust.
Yeah, but it, you know, it's a bolster, so it sits there, and it's the thing that basically we all pay no heed, but it's there. It's there as pillows. It's there under patios. It's there under the Earth's crust.
Okay, fine, fine.
Okay?
Fine.
What I mean
so
is...
So delivery drivers are the bolster of society. Okay.
Yeah. Fine. And you know what? For the most part, you just open a door, you bang them a sort of like handful of wet fucking notes and say, yeah, thanks for your fucking... you know, sometimes you know, people don't even say thanks, and then you know, you sit down and eat a delicious meal or a variant meal, and then, you know... And if they've done their job properly and they've quietly got about their business like Batman or someone else, you seldom even recognise them. But when they make a mistake, my God, we rain down the blows on them. And I've been culpable of this. Maybe a delivery's late. He couldn't find my address, which is quite a hard address to find. So I've called up and I've sort of like kicked off. Or, you know, maybe, you know, he's dropped one of the containers of food. When they make mistakes, my God, it rains. But when they bring the sun, we never thank for their cherished rays.
Who's bringing the sun? Who's in control of the weather here? Because
the delivery drivers.
The delivery drivers. But you're saying if they get it wrong, then we make it rain on them.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's going on?
What I'm saying is right. They are out there in the weather, but we never say, there's not enough love
so
given.
You're literally talking about the weather now.
Yeah, no.
It's not an analogy anymore.
What my point is this, right? Is when they get it right, we just go, all right, cheers, here we go. We might even bang them a couple of quid because we're good people. Yeah. But we never fist bump them and say, you know what? Thank you so much. Because without you, I wouldn't be eating this sweet, sweet meal.
Yeah, because that would make them fucking deeply uncomfortable. All they want to do is get your food to you, get the tip and leave. What they don't want is have a chat with somebody who's clearly fucking got some issues, telling them about how much they fucking bolster their fucking life or whatever. You don't do that. What I would say is, though, having said this, I've been sort of deliberately kind of facetious with you. I do agree with you. Alex, I've got to say, I would go further than Tom. I think for you to complain about this driver's behaviour would be so unfair, because I think you've got your part to play in this. And when I say part to play, I sorry to be blunt, I think this is your fault, okay? Because lock your front door, bro. Your front door pushes open. A delivery driver turns up with food for you. He pushes against that door. That door opens. He probably assumed that you're somebody that's got mobility issues and needs the food to be brought directly to you wherever you are. And then he turns. Imagine the poor fucking experience for him. He's slightly nervous. He deals with different situations every single time. He's pushed the door open. He's gone, okay, fucking hell, this is a bit weird. I don't really like going into people's houses because there's a clear COVID risk. But despite that, I'm going to go in and get the food to this guy. Then he walks in and sees you looking like what he would assume is directly post-wank, right, waiting for your food, okay? He then sort of is embarrassed and then leaves and shuts the door. You then take so long to get yourself ready that he thinks, oh, fucking hell, maybe he did actually want me to just give him the food. And so he opens the door to find you approaching. He panics and puts the food down and leaves. He's had a very traumatic experience there. And that's a traumatic experience if you're the only delivery he's doing that evening. He's probably going into further deliveries after that, feeling a little bit worried about what's going on. If he, on top of that, was to then get a complaint about his behaviour during that interaction, I've got to say, it would be hugely unfair, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. I think it's unfortunate. I think you're embarrassed, and I'd be embarrassed too. Let's just chalk this whole thing up as a story you're going to tell your mates, and the delivery driver can tell his mates as well. How about that?
Mate, I think that's probably the most sensible thing you've ever said.
Okay.
Right. And I will...
You've managed to sort of...
I'm going to take this a step further, and I think I speak for both of us when I say this. We love takeaways on this show. We adore them. Me and Ramesh are two of probably the most trailblazing orderers of takeaways that have ever walked this sweet, sweet planet. But, yeah, we're culpable as much as the next guy of not getting to know the delivery driver's name or not giving him the time on earth.
Gosh.
So I want you, next time you order takeaway, and I'm going to do this, and I might well record it, I might use this as my undercut. Is next time that bell rings and you open the door.
You'll answer the door and you'll go, just so you know, I'm doing an undercover recording of you.
No, I'm going to try and be better this time. I want you to go, thank you for this. What's your name? And they'll say whatever their name is, Les or Philip or James or whatever.
Right? Right. I don't know what delivery drivers you're getting, but I've never had a fucking James in my life.
Right. And I want you to find out their name.
It says it on the app, bro.
Exactly, on the app. Or look at the app. Yeah, we don't look at the app. That's the fucking thing, right? So I want you to look at the app, and I want you to look them dead in the eye. I want you to say, thank you, blah, 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 whatever their name is. Thank you for this order. For if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be eating this marvelous feast.
Okay.
Record it, send it in, and we'll play the best ones back.
Okay. Genuinely, I actually think Tom might have pulled a half-decent idea out of his arse here. I think it would be quite nice, and I'm going to do the same thing because we get a takeaway every week. What would be nice is if the next time you get a delivery, you don't have to say the script that Tom gave, because I think in all probability the authorities would be called.
I think it's a nice script if you want to use one. Thank
you.
Yeah,
you can use
AKA
it if you want
name
to.
For this fabulous feast. I owe you one.
Or just say something along the lines of, can I just say, I really appreciate you bringing this food to me today. Something nice. Record it. Let's hear the response. See if it, you know, maybe spreads a little bit of light into the lives of some delivery
drivers.
Or video
it and put it on at Wolf Owl Podcast.
Absolutely, do not video. There's
Instagram.
Absolutely no point. There's no point in you. There is no point in you. Please do not video it because it's of no use to us whatsoever.
But you know what? I feel really good about this now. I just hope there's going to be like an army of delivery drivers just out and about this week, just feeling really good about themselves, and that makes me feel good about myself.
Or we'll be the subject of some sort of legal action because a number of delivery drivers will be deeply unhappy because on top of their pay conditions, which are absolutely dog shit, they're now being secretly recorded as they do their job. But let's just see how it pans out. Tom, could you please take us out?
For what is in a name? For once you are called. We have no choice upon the name that we bring into this world and how whence we're known. Yes, we can forge a character and we can forge a look and we can forge a catchphrase. Do you take it to the max that make people know? But it's your name that people will call thee. The most important thing is to find a nickname or a gentle pseudonym that people give you. That can be anything. Sometimes people will say something that's quite scandalous and you go, hey, I've already got a shit name. I don't need another one. Sometimes you use your middle name as your first name. Jonathan becomes Ramesh. Ramesh becomes the owl. And life goes on. But every now and again, you get someone who is very special. Someone who goes above and beyond for a family or a podcast. And they do merit in a name that gives them the significance and the aura in which they deserve. So sometimes, in the most funny of ways, a shrew falls to the ground and a swan flies into the air. And that, well, that's the circle of life.
It's very, very good. It's very, very good. Thank you. Guys, listen, once again, we are sorry for the lack of episodes last week. We'll never do it again, hopefully.
No.
And we will see you very, very soon. Most likely on the bonus episode that we're about to record now. Take care. Bye-bye.
Love is cute.
Okay, thank you. If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.